You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? I am your host, Eric Kane, and welcome into Locked On Balls. It is your team, which is the Tennessee Volunteers, every single day. Today's episode, it's brought to you by Sonos. Experience the game like never before with Sonos Arc, the premium smart soundbar for TVs, movies, music, gaming, and more. Visit Sonos.com to learn more. Every episode, 5 days a week, every single morning, wherever you listen to your podcast. And like I've been telling you guys, it is coming to YouTube later this week. Either Thursday or Friday is my launch date, is what I'm trying to get to. So if you haven't already, go ahead and search in YouTube, Locked On Vols. There's a couple of just like little Locked On Nows in there right now. Go ahead and subscribe. Would help me out so much, guys. And I'll give you a little progress update on myself. I'm using a technology called Restream right now, where I've got like an in-studio type feel. I've got that down pat. That's super easy. But I'm getting back familiar with Adobe Premiere, and anybody that knew me back in my early days when I was a GA at Carson Newman and just when I was getting into the Knoxville market, I hate Adobe Premiere. Can't stand it. So getting used to that. It's been a whole lot of fun, but making progress there. And I'll announce the launch date probably on tomorrow's show, but really, really looking forward to getting on YouTube either Thursday or Friday. So today is Twitter Tuesday. Segment one, we'll take your questions, answer them. Segment two, Vols in Review, we'll talk the offensive line. And then in segment three, we'll give you a little preview for the nightcap. 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock Eastern time. It should be illegal, but that's what that tip-off time is. Later today for Tennessee at Vanderbilt. Guys, thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Let's go ahead and get on into it. This is Locked On Vols. So we'll go ahead and start with Bruce on the loose. And Bruce wants to know, is it just me or does this seem to be Fulkerson's MO? He has a few amazing games a year, gets everyone excited about what he can do, and then plays average to below average the rest of the season. Not trying to be mean about the kid, but that just seems to be his trend. Also, let me answer this one first. Yeah, I've been saying the last couple of days, I mean, really, he had that stretch run, that second half of SEC play there in 2019 with the hair, giving him superpowers. He scored 27, a career high at Rupp, and things were great. And then last year, he dealt with COVID. I don't think he ever truly recovered from it from a conditioning standpoint. He was out the Alabama game with COVID again this year. I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I think that should be, taken into consideration. But overall, it just looks like a guy that's, doesn't have much confidence right now, to be completely honest. I spoke on yesterday's podcast. I mean, you don't grab a rebound. I mean, how do you not get a rebound, right? And so, Bruce, I would completely agree with you there. It's kind of like he'll show what he can do, but it's not been consistent, really, dating back for 2 years now. And it's very frustrating, and that's why I'm predicting that his minutes will get decreased a little bit moving forward. Bruce goes on to ask, how many kids do we have in the transfer portal? Well, to answer that one really, really quick, I actually did this on yesterday's show, or it might have been my radio show. I can't really remember. Just kind of a roster management type situation. Cayman Marley's in the portal. Trinity Bell's in the portal. Kerwan Calvert's in the portal. Anderson Kobe's in the portal. Will Albright's in the portal. D. Beckwith's in the portal. That's six right there. I know Harrison Bailey's in the portal. And then I can't remember if Morvin Joseph's found a home right now. So I think Tennessee players who were on the team last year, currently, I think there's seven right now that's in the portal. Brian Maurer went off. He's at Stephen F. Austin. Tyon Evans is at Louisville. I might be forgetting somebody in there, but I think seven would be the count right now. And how far away from 85 are we? Well, I don't know that exact number, but I know it's close. I know it's very, very close in terms of the scholarship amount. So I don't understand why we would be a preseason top 25 team when we still don't get when we still don't have the depth. Not trying to be negative, rather just live in reality. No, I mean, I think that's fair, right? I mean, especially preseason, it's all about hype, right? Tennessee has a lot of hype on the front end, especially offensively. But building depth, that takes years. And I think there's a lot of teams in the top 25 that are struggling with depth and stuff like that too. So I don't think it's really anything just Tennessee-wise. But Tennessee's got a long ways to go. So Bruce, appreciate it for you chiming in. We'll head back to the DMs. We'll talk with Jason Hale. Have you heard any talk about UT assistant coaching changes? It's that time of the year again. I was curious as to whether or not you thought the same coaching staff would remain intact for year number two. There's always going to be rumors, and I think there's always going to be interviews, right? I mean, Alex Golish, there was some real interest there for the Ole Miss job. There was the offensive coordinator job. There was some real interest there for the Duke job, I believe. Tim Banks, there was some interest there with the new Duke coaching staff. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, some rumors and some interviews that take place and everything. But, I mean, at the time of this recording, I think right now it looks like Tennessee's in pretty good shape to keep this same coaching staff intact. That doesn't mean that it won't happen. That doesn't mean that it will stay this way for year three. It doesn't mean, I mean, you know, May could come, spring practice can come and gone, and a position open up somewhere and somebody hires away one of these assistants. So Alex Golish, I believe, will be a head coach one day. I think Tim Banks will be a head coach one day. How soon will that happen? I don't know. But it's not like you're taking a, I mean, unless you're really looking for a raise, it's not like you're taking, Tennessee's not a stepping stone job more than anything, in my opinion. So as of right now, I think you're in pretty decent shape, but always those can change. We will go to Devin. Devin wants to know, first of all, I want to start off by saying I refuse to give up on this Tennessee basketball team. I have been a huge Folky fan since before he took the charge a few years ago and broke his elbow, but he has got to get decreased minutes at this point. With that being said, what would be your fresh starting lineup at this point in the season? Mine would be Chandler, Vescovy, James, Brantley Huntley Hatfield, and Uros, probably an unpopular opinion with the laughing face. No. Yeah, absolutely. That would be an unpopular opinion, having Uros in the starting five. But I see what you're saying. I mean, Uros is not an all-SEC player. He's not a standout basketball player, in my opinion. But God, he's been the most consistent here lately, is he not? Maybe not like Vescovy, maybe not like Chandler, but as far as post players, you know exactly what you're going to get from Uros. He sucks on defense. He's weak to be 7 foot. But gosh, I mean, he'll give you the putbacks. He will give you energy and effort. He will try to get to the line. I don't think he should start, but I do think that is an option. I'm with you. I would decrease the minute load of John Fulkerson right now. I just would. You can go one of two ways. You can flip-flop Uros for Fulkerson and keep it with three in the backcourt, or really, you know, Jazai being that wing player, and Kumwa and Uros in the front court, or you go small ball. You can go Vescovy, Chandler, Ziegler, Josiah at the four, and Kumwa at the five. How durable is that? Tennessee's done it a lot before, but I mean, if you're going up against a tall team, like say you had to play Arizona again, that wouldn't likely be the matchup you'd want lineup to line up against a team like Arizona. So, you know, we'll have to see. My lineup would probably be that, probably be the former, simply because Tennessee's done it. Josiah plays well at the four. You know, we'll have to see. But I too would decrease the minute workload of a John Fulkerson right now. We put this to Twitter earlier today. A number of you guys. So, hey, Devin, credit to you for sparking on a good conversation. We put it to Twitter. Adam Collins says, not Folky. Start BHH at the five and move on from there. I think Brantley Huntley Hatfield is going to get, gosh, I hate saying his name fast. I think he's going to get some more minutes, and I think he's deserved to get some more minutes. But taking him from averaging 3 minutes a game to the starting lineup, I don't think that's feasible right now. Wesley Hayes says, Kumwa at the four, BHH at the five. Gage Green says, at guard, Isaiah Solik. At guard, Kent Gilbert. Those two guys are walk-ons. At guard, at forward, Brock Jancic. That's a walk-on. At forward, Hanjay Tumba. He is a redshirt. And at center, Zakai Ziegler. That's one of my favorite ones so far. Crazy Vol fans says Chandler, Vescovy, Ziegler, BHH, and Meshack. Ooh, need energy in that lineup. Meshack will give it for you. Chandler, Ziegler, Vescovy, Kumwa, Huntley Hatfield. That is from Chad O. Fulkerson should be benched immediately. That's from Josh. Fulkerson needs to move on. He is a waste of space. That is from Vol fans. So a lot of you guys are really feeling BHH, and I agree with you. I just think it's asking a lot from him right now to go from 2 minutes and 30 seconds a game to being in the starting five. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just me. All right, we'll move on here. We will conclude with Alvin, if I can find my bookmarks here. Alvin wants to know, excuse me, it's always a Volant. My favorite Twitter handle that chimes in every week. If you could compare, predict the trajectory of Tennessee football team to a different team, past, present, Vols, not Vols, Who would you compare him to? Okay, so I know there's better comparisons out there, but the two that immediately jumped off the page for me, is obviously Ole Miss because of the scheme, how you went from being not a very good team, jumping up into relevancy, especially in the offensive end, the high-paced tempo and all that type of stuff. And in year one, the defense is horrible. Defense took a major step in year two. Can Tennessee do that as well? And then two would be Arkansas. Now, Arkansas, I believe, was 3-7, might have been 4-6 in that COVID year. That was year number one for Sam Pittman. I don't put a whole lot of stock in that year because, I mean, gosh, he just had so many guys who, you know, were out and all this type of stuff. So, nonetheless, I would say Ole Miss and I would say Arkansas because of the leaps that those two teams took, especially in year two. But the relevancy with the offense and the coaching staff and the similarities, all that type of stuff with Ole Miss. But Arkansas, too, taking what they had and turning it into something good. And that had to go with, you know, good coaching as well with Sam Pittman. So those would be my two comparisons off the top of my head. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in for Twitter Tuesday. We'll get into Vols in review in segment number two. But first, Bet Online, I'd like to wish you a happy new year of betting. And as we continue our march throughout the playoffs and beyond, Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action this season and in 2022. New year, new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all these amazing offers available for the 2022 season. BetOnline, it's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, it is where the game starts. Welcome back into Locked On Vols, your team every single day. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. Let's get into our Vols in review, shall we? And now it is time to talk about the Tennessee offensive line. Tennessee's offensive line. I mean, everything starts up front in the trenches, right? So, for all the school records Tennessee broke this year, for the offensive efficiency, for all the single season points scored, yards per game, Tennessee had one of the best offenses, not only in the SEC, but it was a top 10 offense in all of college football. We talked about all the awards, the records, all the accolades that this Tennessee offense has produced. And we talked about this on this show before. It all starts up front, right? But Tennessee was also one of the worst teams in terms of giving up sacks in the SEC this year. Protecting Hendon Hooker will, you know, be of the utmost importance moving forward. And, you know, a lot of times when you have a mobile quarterback, sometimes they don't help themselves out a lot. Sometimes they get out of danger. Sometimes they put themselves in danger. But overall, Tennessee has got to protect, in terms of the pass sets, its quarterback much, much more. But you can't argue with what the offensive line did this year. You really, really can't. Averaged over 200 yards rushing per game. Allowed Hendon Hooker and Cedric Tillman and Velus Jones to go and do what they did. And you did it with the makeshift offensive line. Here's how the offensive line started the season, okay? Left to right, Darnell Wright, Jerome Carvin, Cooper Mays, Javonte Spraggins, and Cade Mays. Okay, that's a pretty solid offensive line. Now, points and times, Cade Mays was out there, and you had Dane Davis playing at right tackle. Points and times, Cooper Mays missed a lot of time. There you have Jerome Carvin slotting over to center. You had Kingston Harris playing that right guard spot. Oh, Kingston Harris gets hurt. Ollie Lane steps up and plays that spot. Oh, Javonte Spraggins is a little bit banged up. Lampley got some time playing at right guard later on into the season. So for as much as Tennessee's offensive line had to deal with injury and different situations like that, and for it to still operate at the level that it did, that is a job well done by Glenn Ellerbe. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. He did a heck of a job. Now, there's still so much more room for improvement. It's incredible. This offensive line unit can get so much better. I think Darnell Wright had a really solid year. Moving from right tackle where he was just, he was fine, right? I mean, he was okay. Moving from right tackle, dropping some weight, getting limber, being able to bend, having a solid base, flipping over to left tackle when you're out on an island, and turning in the season he had, job well done to Darnell Wright. I think Jerome Carvin had to spend so much time playing center that it really took away from his responsibilities in playing that left guard position, that once he got back to his natural home at left guard, he was pretty solid. I thought he did a nice job playing center, all intents and purposes, because, you know, no one else could, okay? Cooper Mays, I think that Cooper Mays has a lot of room to grow, both physically and mentally. I think Tennessee's run game was a lot better when Cooper Mays was you know, it all starts with the center, okay? The center gets down there, he calls out his man, then the counting starts from the center, from the interior out to the tackle. So if you have a guy in there that knows how to read defenses and knows how to set protections, all that type of stuff, that's what you need. That doesn't mean Jerome Carvin couldn't do it. Just Jerome Carvin's a guard, right? And so I thought Tennessee's offense flowed a lot better with Cooper Mays at center, don't get me wrong, but at points and times, he was sitting in Hendon Hooker's lap because Cooper Mays has got some weight to gain for sure. But Javonte Spraggins was probably the weakest link of the offensive line, never really graded out, really high per Pro Football Focus, to be completely honest with you. And I think that he's got the instincts. He's got the mentality of an offensive lineman. Just he was penalized a lot. He was beat a lot. So Javonte Spraggins needs to improve moving forward. And then you got the right tackle. Cade Mays, of course, we know about Cade Mays. We know, I mean, he was an all-SEC offensive lineman. He was a two-time SEC offensive lineman of the week this year. But when he was out, points in times, it wasn't great with Dane Davis in there. The staff likes Jeremiah Crawford, J.J. Crawford. They want him to play, but he got in here late, so late in the summer that he really never had a chance. You know, he was playing junior college football this time last year in the spring of 2021 because his season in the fall got canceled due to COVID. So he played, albeit a little bit of an abbreviated season, then came straight to Tennessee. So imagine this right now, this is him resting. First time he's been able to rest, you know, in a year plus, right? I think Jeremiah Crawford's a guy that can really take that spot. Then you have the Florida transfer, Gerald Mintz. He didn't see a lot of time at Florida. He was on field goal team, PAT team, but the coaching staff likes his upside as well. So I think it's going to be a three-headed race to see who fills in there at right tackle, you know, moving forward. But Cade Mays, obviously, he was injured a lot, and that's frustrating, but there's no doubt about it. He was Tennessee's best offensive player. That's saying something with Hendon Hooker. That's saying something with Cedric Tillman. I think he will be drafted. It's going to be later than what we all envisioned initially, I do believe. I think his stock has dropped some, you know, since coming to Tennessee. I really, really do. But he's still an NFL player. Durability is going to be the thing for Cade Mays no matter what. What about behind these guys? Well, Dane Davis is probably your backup left tackle. Jerome Carvin's probably your backup center, okay? Ollie Lane and Kingston Harris, a combination of the two, are your backup guards. Jackson Lampley's a guy that can play guard. Your third-string center would probably be Parker Ball. R.J. Perry's a guy that can play guard. James Robinson's a guy that can play guard. William Parker Griffin is a guy. Griffin Parker is a guy that can play guard and tackle. And then, of course, you bring in Masai Reddick. You bring in Addison Nichols. You bring in Brian Grant. Those guys are being added to the fold, and Reddick as well. Yeah, Masai Reddick, like I said, yeah. No, Mo Clipper. That's what I was trying to think of, Mo Clipper. You're adding four more to the group as well to develop and all that type of stuff. So, bottom line, I think there's so much more room for improvement for the Tennessee offensive line, but for what it had to handle this year with the injuries and the shuffling the deck and all that type of stuff, I mean, you lost Cade Mays in the first series of both the South Alabama game and the Ole Miss game. Tennessee won easily against South Alabama, obviously, and came down to the wire against a top 10 team in Ole Miss, had a chance to win on the final play of the game. That's with a backup right tackle, okay? What Tennessee was able to accomplish with this offensive line, truly incredible. And I think it's hats off to these guys for working and being in position to do just that. So protecting the quarterback, giving up fewer sacks, this offense allows to bail out the offensive line at times as well. I mean, let's not be foolish here. We know that to be true as well. But it's a good thing for Tennessee, and this is why, again, a reason why Tennessee is getting so much hype in these preseason polls, these way-too-early polls, is because you bring back a quarterback, bring back a wide receiver, bring back your top running back, and you bring back four of your five starting offensive linemen. So this group did a really good job, needs to get better next year and moving forward. Okay, we'll give you a preview for Tennessee Vanderbilt when we return. But first, it is a Built Bar. New year, new me. New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure to include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your New Year's resolution because it tastes so good, you're going to want to eat it and eat it more. And why is that? Yeah, it's a protein bar, but it doesn't taste like any normal protein bar that's often chalky or waxy or tastes like a chemical spill, to be honest. You want to eat healthy, but sometimes it gets so boring, you're just asking yourself, where's the chocolate? Well, Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, 17 grams of protein. That's the kicker, though. And if you go to just a normal candy bar, you're often looking at 4 net carbs, or excuse me, you're looking at 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Here's an idea for you for the new year. Go to all your secret treat stashes at home, in the pantry, in the office, in the car, wherever they are. Throw them out, throw that sugary or calorie-filled treats out, and replace them with a Built Bar. So when you're craving a snack or a treat, you can reach for something that is healthy and something that tastes incredible. Where do you find all this? It's at Built.com. Use the promo code LOCK15, and there you're going to get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off. That is at Built.com. We got a final segment left here of a Tuesday Locked On Vols. I don't think about what day of the week it is. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen. We had Twitter Tuesday, had a lot of fun with that. In segment number one, we talked about the offensive line, who's going to be returning, kind of how they did this year. That was in segment number two in our Vols in Review. And then finally, we are going to discuss, Tennessee on the road at Vanderbilt coming up later tonight. So what are we going to see? We talked a little bit about Tennessee hoops, that starting five in segment one, Twitter Tuesday. What's that starting lineup going to look like? Is Fulkerson going to get benched? Is he still going to be in the starting rotation, but his minutes get decreased considerably? Are they going to replace him by going small ball, playing a guard and Ziegler in the backcourt, and then shifting Josiah from the three to the four with Kamau at the five? Are they going to start Uros in place of Fulkerson? I don't know. I don't think anybody's minutes are going to change with the exception of Fulkerson's, you know, coming back and be decreased. That means Kamau, Uros, and Brandon Huntley Hatfield's minutes will likely increase moving forward. So it'll be interesting to see what Tennessee wants to do at Vanderbilt later tonight. Tennessee coming in still ranked inside the AP top 25. I don't know how, but 24th in the country, falling from 22nd to 24th, 11-5, 2-3 in SEC play. All three of those losses on the road in conference play. Vanderbilt 10-6, 2-2 in conference play. 9 o'clock start time should be illegal. We go back to that January Christmas Eve episode when we were talking about Festivus, and I talked about driving. I talked about targeting. If I could go back, I would say 9 o'clock start times in the Eastern time zone is just ridiculous. No one should ever be subject to watch, to cover a basketball game that starts at 9 o'clock. Think about me. I'm going to watch this game tonight, okay? I am going to watch this game. It's going to get over with at a little after 11, and then I'm going to have to do a podcast about it. I mean, goodness gracious, my night's going to, I'm not going to get in bed till 1 a.m. It's ridiculous. It's pathetic, to tell you the truth. Can't stand it. I'll get off my soapbox now. Tennessee's won 8 straight over Vandy, 10 of their last 11, 5 straight at Vanderbilt as well. Rick Barnes, 10-3 against Vanderbilt. Tennessee overall as a program, 126-75. Volunteers lead the all-time series dating back to 1922. Vols are 5th in adjusted defensive efficiency, allowing 89.1 points per 100 possessions. That is according to KenPom. So it went from 2nd to 5th, according to KenPom, following that loss to Kentucky, where Kentucky had a career day shooting the basketball. Tennessee's forcing an average of 18.6 turnovers per game. That dropped from 20 heading into the Kentucky game. The next closest SEC team is LSU, forcing 16.8 turnovers per game. The Vols rank among Division I's top 15 in steals per game, a little over 10. Turnover margin plus 5.5. Assists per game, 17.4. So the numbers defensively still look pretty solid, all things considered for this Tennessee basketball team. What about Vanderbilt? Well, Vanderbilt is 10-6, like I said, 2-2 in SEC play. Enters Tuesday's game coming off its second conference win, where they took down Georgia earlier on Saturday, 73-66. Vanderbilt won just 3 SEC games during the entirety of the 2020-2021 season. I've already won 2 of their first 4 conference games this season, so showing some improvements under Jerry Stackhouse. Vanderbilt has posted 2 quadrant 3 losses this season. That's to Temple and South Carolina, but South Carolina team Tennessee beat by 20 last week, but has 2 quadrant 1 wins, one against BYU and one on the road at Arkansas. 5 of Vanderbilt's 6 losses this season have come at home at Memorial Gym. Preseason SEC Player of the Year Scottie Pippen Jr. leads the SEC in points with 18.8 points per game. He's averaging 21 points per game in Vanderbilt's four conference games. Pippen Jr. has seven games of 20 or more points this season, including two games with 30 or more. So he is a scorer. Obviously, it's in the genes. Scottie Pippen Sr., one of the best basketball players of the 90s, of course, of the Chicago Bulls. Scottie Pippen Jr., now a junior. He's been in college for quite some time now. It's kind of hard to believe. Now a junior, he's having a fine season. Vanderbilt ranks 26th in Division I and 4th in the SEC in turnovers forced. At 16.4 forced per game, the Commodores have forced 15 or more turnovers in 10 games this season. So like Tennessee on the defensive front, forcing a whole lot of turnovers for or is Vanderbilt in this one. So I found a stat earlier today and I just misplaced it. Oh, here it is. Okay, get this. Since the start of the 2018-2019 basketball season, Tennessee has won more games against SEC opponents in Nashville than Vanderbilt has. I'll read that again. Since the start of 2018-2019 season, Tennessee has won more games against SEC opponents in Nashville than Vanderbilt has. The Vols have recorded 6 wins over SEC teams in the state's capital, 3 at Vanderbilt and 3 in the SEC tournament. During that span, Vanderbilt has won five at home, 1 in the SEC tournament. That is hard to believe. Okay, I know there are issues going on right now with Tennessee's basketball team, but good God, you could be Vanderbilt, right? I mean, holy crap. And it looks like Jerry Stackhouse now in year 3 for Stackhouse, I guess, maybe year 2, I don't know. I mean, at least in conference play, he's starting to turn it around a little bit. I mean, you got one of the best players in the country in Scottie Pippen Jr., you're going to have opportunities to do that. So I guess it's good for them. But this should be a game to where if Tennessee doesn't show up, they'll get beat. Point blank, they will get beat. But it's a game where if Tennessee shows up, plays defense like Tennessee should be playing defense, right? Playing defense like it has all season long, minus the Villanova game, minus the game against Kentucky on Saturday. This is a game that Tennessee should be able to get. Should be able to get pretty handily. Tennessee comes in as 6.5-point favorites over Vanderbilt on the road. The over-under is set at 134.5, in case you are wondering, for entertainment purposes only. So we will recap what is this Tennessee basketball game, what should be a Tennessee win against Vanderbilt in Nashville late tonight. We'll get you set for a Wednesday Locked On Vols. Don't forget, Locked On Vols coming to YouTube later on this week. If you haven't already, go ahead and search Locked On Vols. Subscribe to it on YouTube. It will help me out tremendously. Please, it will help me out tremendously. Even if you're not a YouTube person, just search it, Locked On Vols, subscribe, and you can help me out here. Nothing will change. This podcast will still be available. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Odyssey, wherever you listen to it. Nothing will change, but there will be a video component now if you want to see this ugly mug. So guys, thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day. Make Locked On Bets your second listen now. Your boy Q, handicapping expert Lee Sterling, your one-stop shop, everything you need for betting, that is at Locked On Bets. Make that your second listen behind Locked On Vols, your first listen each and every day. Guys, thanks so much. Really, really do appreciate it. And we will be back again tomorrow with more Vols in Review, recapping Tennessee's game against Vanderbilt and more right here on Locked On Vols.